want you to fire me.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Elite P.O.V. Yeah, I'm doing the Britt Baker. Britt Baker. But you can't see it because I'm in audio. Still in audio, that's right. A lot of you guys haven't seen my face before. It was in the video, but if you're new, sorry. Go back and you'll see my face. Not sure why you want to anyways. But I hope you guys are all doing great. Hope you guys are all excited. I know I am. This weekend is All-In weekend. Kind of like a gloomy weekend. What horrible news we've gotten the last couple of days, folks. And it stinks. It stinks. Like, it put a damper on me trying to record this weekend. Like, I almost didn't want to. So, you guys don't know. I don't know how you don't know if you're in the wrestling world. But, anyways. Both Terry Funk and younger Bray Wyatt passed away over the last few days. And obviously, the most shocking is Bray Wyatt, considering the age factor. And, you know, it's still shocking Terry Funk. I think Terry Funk was only in his 60s, but like, or 70s? I don't remember. But still, like, two tragic losses to the wrestling world in a weekend where it's supposed to be AEW's, like, biggest weekend of all time. And, you know, if I know none of them ever were in AEW, but still, like, a lot of people in AEW were good friends and knew these people for long periods of time. So, you know, it is unfortunate. So, thoughts and prayers go out to the Wyatt family, or the Rotunda family and the Funk family at this time. Just going to give them, out of respect, guys, a quick 10-second moment of silence, and I'll be right back and start the show, okay? So, let's, if you guys could too, let's give them and their families a moment of silence here. All right, guys, let's get through some of the bits. Still don't have a name for this. Bits and pieces news, I don't know. You guys heard on the last episode, I just kind of run through some tidbits before we get into the main stuff. The main stuff today is the predictions. Main stuff today is the predictions. I'm sorry, I apologize about the sound today. I did switch my soundboard, so I'm kind of figuring things out. Hopefully it works. Hopefully you guys are sounding, it's sounding okay. I'm going to listen to it back. So, listen to him back, Kyle. Hopefully this sounds good. All right, Kyle? All right, Kyle. Anyways, quickly here. I don't know if you guys caught it. I watched it. Hilarious. Good stuff. But MJF and Adam Cole were on the Hot Wings episode of Truth or Dab. Fantastic. It's on YouTube. Go watch it. Hilarious stuff. MJF says some interesting things on this episode. So, go check it out. Quickly here, there's a possibility Edge is coming in AEW. I mean, we really don't need to touch like too much base on this. He's going to make his decision ultimately what he feels he needs to do at this point in his career. He's like, what, 50-something or just turned 50? Obviously, I know like he's always wanted to end his career with his best friend Christian, how they came into wrestling together. They probably want to go out wrestling together, you know, similar to how Matt and Jeff are doing right now. I wouldn't doubt if we've seen Edge show up, or Adam Copeland, or these crazy names, Corner, or Edge, or not Edge, Corner, or Border. People are these ridiculous names. Anyways, I wouldn't doubt if we see him come in, but yeah, for one, I don't know if we're going to get Middlingus. For one, like, do we get Middlingus? Is that allowed? Or like, I suggested, or I saw someone suggest, and I was like, oh, can we please? Rob Zombie, never going to give you up. Are never going to stop me. Never going to give you up. That's Rick Ashley. Come on, Kyle. Anyways, never going to stop me. Rob Zombie fans, don't kill me. Don't prosecute me. But, yeah, I wonder. I wonder if we get one of those two songs. I don't know how the licensing is going to work, but we'll see. But I'd be cool to see Edge and AEW. I think it'd be cool to see a few matches. maybe against Christian, with Christian, ENC, Hardys, maybe do it one last time. That'd be neat. I think that'd be pretty neat. What else we got here? The return. Yeah, it's this week. Proud and Powerful are back. Santana back from a year-long hiatus off of injury. I wouldn't be lying if I didn't say it looked weird when someone pointed it out that they didn't look at each other at all, whether it's done by design or what. I would like to think that they're on the same page and is what happened. Unless this was just a one-time thing they both agreed to do on a one episode of Dynamite, and then they go their separate ways. Regardless, it's great to see Santana back. He looks great. He looks beefier, man. The guy looks like he put on some size. Good for him. Just judging from his posts, he looks and feels great. So I can't wait to see the future of Santana, and possibly with or without Ortiz. We'll see. It's exciting times, man. Exciting times with AEW. Will Ospreay also this week was on Dynamite. Big Will Ospreay guy. I know a lot of people are not fans of him, but... a big Ospreay guy. And says his contract with New Japan. He said it in a promo with Jericho this week. It's up in 6 months. Is he all elite bound? I'd like to think that his time in AEW has been great and he wants to be here. Unless he's spending as much time as he can here because he wants to go to the Fed. Or, you know, in this case, WWE. Once comes January. But who knows? It'll be ultimately his decision. He's a great, great piece of talent. I think he'd do great stuff here in AEW, but he's going to do what he has to do. Hopefully he stays. If he goes, we'll see what the WWE does with him. I know that they're bracing for like layoffs and such coming up when the Endeavor sale goes through, so who knows? This was funny. I saw that Jon Moxley, if you guys didn't see this, he appeared in some, I don't know if it's a known rapper, but some rapper's vlog video. And he was on his like morning run or whatnot, just stops his morning run, takes his headphones off, and just takes a big toke of that rapper's blunt. And that is just so like Jon Moxley. Like, they need to include that in like his music, like his Titantron. Because that is just like the most epic thing you'll see all week. Freaking fantastic. What else do we got here? We got the Fight Forever game, which I still haven't played yet. I still haven't got my grasp on it. But they have some cool mode that just got released this week. Funny enough, with Stadium Stampede Wembley Stadium happening, Stadium Stampede Battle Royal mode has been opened up on Fight Forever. Kind of like, almost looks like a Fortnite. Like it's with two worlds meeting, Fortnite and wrestling. But like more on the wrestling side, because Fortnite has included wrestlers, but this is on the wrestling side, so it kind of looks like a lot of fun. If you play, let me know. Let me know how fun it is. But the commercial they did for with Tony Khan at the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium with Eddie Kingston, absolutely hilarious. Could not have done a better job at doing that commercial. Eddie Kingston was like, yeah, it's a video game, but you know what? Claudio, fuck you. Oh, just absolutely fantastic. Anyways, moving on. I'm not going to touch too much base with the stuff with Cash. It is what it is with that. And I don't know. I'm not getting into the legal stuff. I'm not giving you my opinion on it. It'll work itself out. I'm just happy the match is still happening at All In. We can enjoy an instant classic between the Bucks and FTR. FTR Bucks 3. Let's go, baby. And speaking of issues going over there, unfortunately, Rey Fénix is having visa issues, so he will not be able to compete. Poor guy, man. I feel like it's just such a horrible thing for Rey Fénix. He's got visa issues going over to the biggest event for AEW. Oh, it just stinks. Something to do with AR Fox, too, I think. That's why they write him off. So, unless he's going to be there in some way. We'll see. But that's all I had today, guys. I think there was probably more, but I probably missed it. Well, that's okay. You guys are here for one thing and one thing only. It's time! No, I'm going to do the Mark Henry. For the main event. All right. And that is the AEW All In Predictions. As of today, when I'm recording this, it's Friday morning, 11 matches, including two... You call them pre-show, or they call it the 0 hour. Two pre-show. Matt, what happened to buy-in? Did they just stop that, or is that going to do for Double or Nothing? thought it was like an AEW thing, the buy-in. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, so 11 confirmed. I mean, if they kept it at this, this would be a perfect card, to be honest. I think you don't run it too long. I think you have a couple of matches here that can run long anyway, so I think this is the perfect amount of matches. So I'll start with the pre-show and work my way down here in the list. Thank you to Wikipedia for providing everybody with this list, as always. And they always put the match time in there. Gotta appreciate that. Anyways, number one, Aussie Open, which is Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher against MJF and Adam Cole. MJF and Adam Cole pulling double duty. Now, I had fears for this match, and for one reason and one reason only, and that is I don't want MJF or Adam Cole to suffer any kind of injury before their main event match. Wouldn't that be special if during the match someone rolled an ankle and then we get the main event match to not be as good as we want it to be? So unless it's going to be a quick match, I really hope they have a backup plan, because my God, I saw them both. I thought it was a joke that they were both going to be on the same card, but no. As far as I know, it looks like they're going to be both on the same card. Oof, Marone. But anyways, it shows. I would sit here and say that I hope it's a great tag team match, but in a way, I don't want it to go long because I want MJF and Cole to be 100% for their main event match. So I'm going to expect and assume that this match is going to be quick, just like a little warm-up, the kind of like, you know, get the blood flowing kind of thing for MJF and Cole. Maybe create that last bit of tension they need for the main event. And then they move on. It would be hilarious if they won the Ring of Honor tag titles, which I can see. I can see MJF and Adam Cole winning the tag titles here and them going into a story after this with, you know, hitting each other and their tag team champions and then losing the belts to whoever or to... God, I can't even speak. I should stop doing podcasts in the morning. To the Kingdom. Because the Kingdom are involved right now. Matt Taven and... is it Matt Taven? Oh my God, forgetting their names. And Bennett there. So that's... Or maybe it includes Roderick Strong. Maybe his next, you know, all of a sudden better. I can totally see that happening. I'm kinda, and that's what my gut's saying. So I'm going to go with that. I think Adam Cole and MJF are going to be your new Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. Next, we have Jack Perry and Hook. This was done this week, actually. It was announced by Tony Khan. So Jack Perry tried to retire the FTW Championship. And he's been posting on Twitter and online. Hilarious stuff. Jack Perry is, I love it. He's embracing this new heel role. It's working out so well for him so far. I hope it just continues to kind of increase and get better, because I think he can do wonders with this character. Facing Hook, obviously, you know, they have their history together, Jack Perry and Hook. And it would be nice to get Hook to get his revenge and get his FTW championship back. But I think Jack Perry's going to win. I think Jack Perry retains, and then I think they finally put the rest of the FTW belt. Taz gets to bring it home and then puts it on his mantle, whatever he needs to do. But I think the FTW championship is either going to retire or stay around the waist of Jack Perry after this match. So that's what I think about that. Can't really go too much into this. The story has been there, but it's not been completely there between Hook and Jack Perry. So can't really deep dive too much into that. Let's get into the main card where we can deep dive here. So first thing they have here listed, and that's FTR and the Young Bucks. FTR Young Bucks 3 for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. The champions, who are Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler, against Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks. This is going to be a really good match. This match is sure to, I think, just be an all-time classic tag team match between these two. And a match that, you know, FTR Young Bucks won. We all know when it started. It started when there was no fans. Like their feud and such started within the pandemic and during those times when every episode of Dynamite was at Daly's place, and you know, those were some weird times. And now look at this. Fast forward to the rubber match, and they're in front of 80,000 plus. Absolutely amazing that they got to this point. And this is going to be an insane match. Folks, we're going to get, I think, a billion near falls. And because FTR and the Young Bucks, these are the two best tag teams in the world. The absolute two best tag teams in the world. You can include the New Day and the Usos from the WWE in there from the WWE. You can include G.O.D. in the history of New Japan. These two are it. FTR and Young Bucks are the pinnacle. They are the top, you know, pun intended with the pinnacle. But they are the top. They're at the top. The two best teams going at it. This could be a match that main evented the show. If there is no world title, I would be completely okay with the Young Bucks and FTR headlining the show. Obviously, they have to put a lot more stock than they already have into it, but I think they've done a good job storytelling up until this point, building up to this point. Obviously, the story is there from the start. The Young Bucks brought FTR in, were the ones to get FTR indoors here at AEW. And again, a shame that FTR had to debut in an era where there was no fans, because I guarantee you that initial pop that FTR would have had for that first Dynamite would have been absolutely insane. I know I was freaking out. I know Jackie, my former co-host, was freaking out. Oh, God. It's just, this is going to be it, folks. This is going to be a climax of this feud between these two teams. The rubber match, who's walking out, and trying to effing decide a winner here was like the hardest thing I've ever had to do. It's harder than building something from IKEA. You know, if you know, you know. And I flip back and forth. I seen the Young Bucks winning, but I, for some reason, think the Young Bucks are going to have some sort of match coming up at All Out or Grand Slam that it's not going to involve the tag team titles. So I'm going to go with my gut. My gut initially told me FTR is retaining, so a lot of these picks I'm going to go with my gut here. I'm going to pick FTR to retain, and what's sure to be a instant classic. I was there for their one instant classic for FTR and DIY in Toronto at TakeOver, and I expect that plus, like, times 10, and I think we're going to get that. So, we'll see what happens. I'm excited. I'm also excited for this next match. Hikaru Shida defending her AEW Women's World Championship against Toni Storm, Saraya, Britt Baker, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, in a four-way match. Such a great way to do this. I know people were like just ripping this apart. Oh, how can Tony Khan make a four-way match? He doesn't care about the women's division. Yeah, we know our gripe with the women's division. Put that aside. This has nothing to do with how Tony Khan books the women's division. This was honestly and simply paying homage to the first women's match at the first All In, which was a fatal four-way. It was, what, Tessa Blanchard, Britt Baker, I think Madison Rayne, and Chelsea Green, if I got that correctly. Someone comment and tell me if I got that wrong. And I love that. I love that they're paying homage to that, and you got four women who all deserve a title shot right now. Toni Storm, you know, getting her revenge on Hikaru Shida, getting her justified rematch. Saraya going into her hometown of England, the UK, in Wembley Stadium. And I tweet it all the time. You guys already know I'm a big Saraya fan. I've been a big fan of her when she was Paige, since she started in NXT. When I saw that first episode that she debuted, I'm like, this is it. This is one of my favorite women of all time. She's going to be one of them. And I followed her entire career since then. You know, the tragic retirement. I was there at that Raw after WrestleMania when she retired. Freaking the most saddest thing I've ever lived, ever had to deal with to this date. And then just seeing her come back here has been one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And you can't help but just feel so good for this feel-good story of her battling back, battling through the adversity, battling through the trolls that go at her on Twitter. I do not understand this, like, legitimate beef that people have with Saraya. I, for one, don't get it. It's not warranted. And two, it's just weird. It's absolutely weird. Why do people hate Saraya this way? And, like, good on her. Like, good on her for retweeting some of these buffoons and these cretins and going at them. Like, you know, props to her. But my God, is it just so unnecessary. Like, she's battled through a career-ending injury to get where she is, and now she's going to be performing in front of 80,000 fans, and she's sure to get a big pop. And I really, and I'm going to be biased. I hope she wins, because that would be an awesome moment, a feel-good moment. And you got Britt Baker there, too. And Britt Baker, you got to give her her flowers. She carried this women's division. She carried it into what it is today. I don't know, understand why there's a weird hate with Britt Baker, too. People are always giving her flack. She's made what this women's division is made today. She carried the division through the pandemic era. Like, I don't understand why she's getting the hate that she gets. Regardless of the backstage politics, putting that aside, I don't know if it's, stuff out there is true or not. It's not my place to say what goes on back there, because I'm not back there. I'm not going to have an opinion on it, because it doesn't warrant my opinion. I just know what I know, and I know that Britt Baker has gotten absolutely better since the first All In to this point. She carried the division through the pandemic era, and she obviously warrants a title match in one of AEW's biggest shows of the year. So I think the four people they chose here to have this four-way women's world title match were all well-deserved, especially Hikaru Shida. The work that she's put in and day out, and how she's carried the division on her own right. She deserves to be there as well. But you know what? This is going to be one of the only picks of the entire night that I'm going with my bias pick. I'm picking Saraya to win the Women's World Championship. I might lose, but it's going to be interesting, though. It's going to be to see what the beef is going to be, because, Toni Storm there. You got the Outcast. Can they coexist? What's going to happen if Britt Baker and Sheeta are laid out, and are they going to fight each other? Ruby's going to be there, obviously. Is she going to get involved? Is she going to get tossed out? I think Ruby's probably going to get tossed out, my assumption. But it's a four-way match, so there's no DQ, so it'll be interesting to see what happens here. So I'm going to go with Saraya. If I had to pick like a legitimate pick, I probably think Sheeta retains. That would be my guess. I think people would be happy if Sheeta retained, so... But I'm going to go with Saraya. Next here, we got a coffin tag team match. Good on AEW for still being creative in this, right, man? Creative as hell. A tag team coffin match. Who would have thought? Not me. Darby Allin and Sting against Swerve Strickland, which was supposed to be AR Fox, but as of this week, he was kicked out of the Mogul affiliates. And it's Christian Cage. Is this a coincidence or is it not? Especially with the news of Edge having his last match in the WWE. He's teaming up with Swerve Strickland. What's going to happen? Who knows? But there's the rumors out there, and Edge has said himself his contract's not up till September. Who knows? We'll see. But it's Christian Cage and Swerve Strickland. It hasn't bracketed here with Prince Nana and Luchasaurus. Where's Brian Cage? Gotta have two cages out there. Two cages in a coffin, two coffins, cages and coffins match. Let's go. Anyways, this is going to be actually really a great tag team. And you got another feel-good moment here. Sting. I know Tony Khan's made his comments in the week, like saying this is the best that Sting's ever had in his entire career. Yes and no. I thought like some of his WCW stuff was really cool, and even when he was Surfer Sting, and a lot of this TNA stuff. Like, I love the whole Joker era of Sting in TNA and Impact, and a lot of stuff he did in Impact. But I think he's been used I'd say if we count the era of when he's in legendary status, so his WWE from his WWE debut till now, I think he's been used the best. AEW finds that way of using legends to the best of their ability and using them in the proper way, excluding Jeff Jarrett. But anyways, Darby Allin and Sting, Swerve Strickland, Christian Cage. This is sure to be a crazy tag match. Throwing my flowers over to Swerve Strickland. This man even tweeted it out. He got interviewed by, I think it was Forbes. Man, is Swerve Strickland on another level? The stuff that Swerve is doing with the Mogul affiliates, with the promos, with the storyline, with his character is so good. And if you can't see it, you really need to sit there and pay close attention to everything that Swerve does, says, tweets, and has done with this storyline, because it's some of the greatest work that's going on AWTB right now. I'm telling you that 100%. It's honestly amazing, and I hope Swerve eventually gets a title of some sort, and he obviously 100% deserves it. But this is going to be a crazy match. I mean, two coffin matches. There's going to be two coffins in an 80,000 seat stadium. I've never seen them do a coffin match, something like that. But I weirdly think that Sting and Darby Allin are going to lose. I'd like to think that Darby Allin and Sting, was it Darby lost the last one? Was it Darby that lost? No, it was Christian that lost the last one, right? Who lost the last coffin match? I can't remember. You guys are going to rip me apart for that. But, okay, my gut's telling me that Swerve and Christian Cage are going to somehow win. I don't know. But talking about this match, wouldn't it be a really cool moment if Edge actually debuted here? You know what I mean? Like, there's just this moment in the match where, like, Christian's in the ring, and he's just doing the most, like, just absolute, like, horse crap heel stuff imaginable, where the crowd is just booing the hell out of him. Maybe Nick Wayne's there, and he's just, like, ripping into his family. And then Edge debuts to come for the save. The pop that he would get would be astronomical if he came out there. And I think if we're going to get a moment where Christian Cage is going to be low in the ring, or there's going to be a moment where they're focusing on Christian Cage and he's about to do something dirty, I guarantee you Edge is going to show up. I think something will happen with that. But if not, if this just ends up being a normal match, we don't get Edge, I'm still not going to be upset. I hope we get like full-on Joker Sting too. Forgot to add that, because the Joker Sting was like the best work ever in Impact. And there's like a whole like YouTube series on it. You guys can watch like the whole history of the Joker Sting. It's fantastic. I hope we get that in AEW. I really do. But I'm gonna go with my gut again. Swerve Strickland. I think Team Strickland will win the coffin match. Next, oh god, this is gonna be good. I am just licking my chops at this match. It's gonna be amazing. So we got the Golden Elite, Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, Adam Page against Konosuke, Takeshita, Bullet Club Gold, which is Juice Robinson and Jay White in a six-man tag. Yes, I understand. I was one of those people. I understand that we wish we had Kenny Omega in a singles match in a first 80,000 stadium show. But the good thing is, this probably won't be the first 80,000 stadium show that AEW is ever going to do. So we will have time to do that again. And I believe everyone's like, oh, why they should have done Omega and Ospreay. Yeah, I would have loved that at first, too. Then I thought about it. Okay, so I'm going to assume that they're going to have their rubber match at Wrestle Kingdom just to, with the relationship with AEW and New Japan. They kind of want, you know, stuff, these big matches to happen on each other's shows. I know they came together. I mostly gear that towards AEW because it was done in North America. So I'm going to assume that their rubber match is probably going to happen at Wrestle Kingdom this year. I'm just more excited at the fact, and I'm giddy because I'm a big fan of theirs, and I've been a huge fan of theirs for years, knowing the story, getting to know the story. Guys, the Golden Lovers are reuniting. Yeah, just let that sink in for like one little bit. The Golden Lovers are reuniting. Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi are teaming up once again in an 80,000 seat arena filled with screaming fans. Like, this is just, they better have a Golden Lovers entrance. Let Hangman have his own entrance, you know, and hopefully he gets his pyro timed right. But he'll give us, please, a Golden Lovers entrance. I think they deserve that, please, for the love of God. And then let them come out dressed like the Golden Lovers attire. I hope they have matching Golden Lovers attire. Just give it to us, Tony Khan. Give it to us. No, we're not going to have enough time at the time. If you ever listen to this, probably not. But I hope for the best with that. And then, you know, against Konosuke Takeshita, Juice Robinson, Jay White, this is going to be a banger. This is going to be an absolute banger. You have six incredible wrestlers in the ring at the same time in a six-man tag match. We are going to have one of the biggest barn burners in the world. And it's cool, too, because Kota Ibushi was part of that first All In a six-man tag. So this is another kind of paying homage moment here with a six-man tag team match from the first All In. I mean, we have a few, but still, with Kota Ibushi, it feels that way. But man, it's going to be so good. I would like to think that they're leaning. I know that looking at the story, Kenny Omega and Takeshita are eventually going to have their one-on-one match. I'm assuming it's either going to be at All Out. I would like to think it's probably not going to happen until Grand Slam. I think a bigger stadium, bigger venue deserves Omega versus Takeshita. That's my guess on that. And I'm glad that they're using Bullet Club Gold here. Juice Robinson, Jay White, and the Guns have just been absolutely on a tear with this Bullet Club Gold stuff. It's some of the best television. And you got Hangman Page in the fold here. And you got Don Callis, too. Like, this is just an incredible story here. You know, you got Kenny Omega, and you got, there's the other side of it. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page are teaming up again. Those are former AEW World Tag Team Champions. So they got their history there, too, as well. So this is going to be a very interesting match. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be fantastic. It's basically Bullet Club Gold against the Golden Elite. So we're getting that in front of 80,000 fans. This is a warranted match. This is why I don't get so many people were like criticizing this card. I'm like, but if you actually look at the card itself and you look at the matches and you understand the story behind the matches, these are great matches to have. We can't just fantasy book our video game, you know, card here and that's what we expect. You're going to get disappointed every single time, folks. You can only do that in video games. That's why we have video games. Anyways. Next match here. Stadium Stampede match. Probably presented by AEW Fight Forever with the Stadium Stampede mode. Or Stadium Stampede Battle Royal. Go check it out and buy your game today. I will take a nice check for that ad there, AEW. Thank you. We got the team of Eddie Kingston, Orange Cassidy, and the Best Friends, which is Chuck Taylor and Trent Barretta with Penta El Zero Miedo against the Blackpool Combat Club of John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, and now Santana and Ortiz. Santana and Ortiz, a lot of these people in this match have history in the Stadium Stampede match. I am just interested to see how they do this on a live scale and what they have set up behind the scenes for the Stadium Stampede match. So this is going to be very, very interesting. I'm sure there's going to be some stuff set up around the arena for this match. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be absolutely chaos. Whenever there's a match with this many people in it, AEW just goes absolutely wild. There's so much things happening, the camera cutting every other second, and there's like those brief moments where like there's a big like cinematic scene. It's just going to be chaos. There's really not much to say, but this is going to be absolute chaos. You know, there's going to be stuff obviously with Claudio and Eddie. John Moxley and Eddie, you got the Best Friends and Santana and Ortiz. Are Santana and Ortiz going to have a moment where they're not seeing eye to eye? You got Penta in there who's just going to do absolutely wild things, completely wild things. Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta have their beef. You know, you also got Wheeler Yuta with the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. Maybe they do something there. Maybe Chris Statlander is involved, you know, something like that. That's my assumption. They're just going to go wild with this match. There's going to be a lot of crazy-ass things. Probably one of the main questions was everyone's thinking about, will a vehicle be involved? Because clearly you can drive that golf cart around in a video game. So what vehicle spot are we going to get this time? My guess, it's either going to be like a London taxi or going to be like one of those double-decker buses out in the parking lot. That's going to be my guess. Oh, man, this is going to be crazy. But it's going to be a wild match. It's going to be an absolutely wild match. Can't wait to see it. We'll move on here. Oh yeah, I gotta pick a winner. And I didn't pick a winner for the last match. God, a pair of guys were like, whoa, Kyle, what did you pick with a winger? Obviously going with the Golden Elite. I think Golden Elite are gonna win that match. And then for the Stadium Stampede match. Oh, this is a tough one. I think I initially had the Blackpool Combat Club team winning. Just because of the nice return of Santana and Ortiz, but I think my gut's telling me that there's something to the Santana and Ortiz thing, whether it be storyline or not. I think there's going to be like a weird separation between those two, and I think it's going to cost them the match. So I'm going with Team Kingston, Orange Cassidy, and the Best Friends. Next, we have a singles match. Will Ospreay, it says with Don Callis, and maybe Don Callis won't be in the other match, against Chris Jericho. Now, I'd be lying if I said at first that I didn't say that I hated when this match was announced, because I don't know how it's gonna, like, Ospreay obviously, and I'm not trying to take down Chris Jericho, I'm not trying to put down Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho can still go in his age, he can still produce classics. I just know that Will Ospreay will have to slow down, because Ospreay is a fast and quick wrestler. I know his style. He's gonna have to slow down a bit to keep up with to keep the pace with Jericho. I still think we're going to get a good match. I just would have maybe liked to see Ospreay in some sort of other match in this card. But it is what it is. You know what? It's a cool moment thinking about it. Ospreay obviously has always wanted to face Chris Jericho. It's a nice, you know, legend versus a guy in his prime moment here. Both have history with New Japan. It's really cool. You know what? Looking more into it, it's a really cool put together match. Obviously, Ospreay's in his hometown. This is gonna be cool. It's gonna be this match is the battle of the dueling crowd song, the crowd singing the song. So you got Chris Jericho, who's gonna be performing with Judas, which is very interesting. And then you got Will Ospreay, who's trying to, you know, getting people to remember the lyrics to his song Elevated. And I guarantee you the whole UK crowd is going to sing it. They know Ospreay. Don't got to worry about your boys and your fans and your girls and boys in the UK knowing your theme song. I guarantee they're going to sing it because Elevated is one of the goated theme songs of all time. But as for the match itself, I would like to think that I shouldn't expect too much, but I think we're still going to get a good match. I think Ospreay is also going to carry a little bit of the match. I'm not trying to say make that sound bad. I think he's going to carry the match in a good way to produce. These two are going to produce a very, very good match. Chris Jericho is an excellent storyteller in the ring. Absolutely excellent storyteller in the ring. And Ospreay is just athletic beyond belief. Also a good storyteller, but maybe not as good as Chris Jericho. And that's saying that with respect. So I'm interested in this match. I'm very interested in the entrances more than anything else, probably. But I think we're still going to get a classic here. And I'm going to pick actually Will Ospreay to win over Jericho in his hometown, and Ospreay getting the credentials of, he said it in his promo, of beating Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, and Kazuchika Okada in the last 2 months. Absolutely wild. Next, this is very interesting. So we got a singles match, CM Punk and Samoa Joe, for the quote unquote real world championship. God, where the hell is this going? Like, obviously, Punk is not going to be carrying around a championship with an X across it for the foreseeable future. So, obviously, this is, you know where this is going. It's going to lead to a unification match against, I would love to think, I mean, it's almost like they told us it's going to be Punk and MJF at All Out. And at the same time, I'm unsure about the main event. I think Adam Cole could be walking out as world champion. But at the same time, like, you know, it could be also MJF winning by cheating in a told you so moment with Roderick Strong. And, you know, they go on with that story. And then MJF goes on with Punk. It's leading to a unification match. Whether they save it for All Out, and you got to think it has to be All Out because All Out's United Center. It's CM Punk's hometown. You got to think that's what they're going to do something there. So I'm going to say that CM Punk wins this match. I think it's still going to be a really great match. Punk and Joe have the biggest history here in the wrestling world, dating back to Ring of Honor. It's going to be an awesome match. I can't wait for it. I can't wait to see what the crowd reaction is. I don't know what the UK fans really think of CM Punk. Are they on the boo side? Are they on the cheer side? Joe's going to get a big reaction too. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited. But I like to think that CM Punk is going to retain because I think this real world championship stuff is going to come to a head here in a unification match. I think you guys think the same thing. Let me know. Next, we got a 6-man tag match for the AEW World Trios Championships. This was made this week. House of Black of Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews, and Brody King against the Acclaimed's Anthony Bones and Max Caster, and the returning and now called Badass Billy Gunn. Hell yes. Please, for the love of God, if there is some sort of way that we could get I'm an Ass Man theme song purchased and used in the AEW, Tony Khan, front the bill. Can we please get I'm an Ass Man or some sort of cover to it for All In? I think the crowd would go wild. You sure get the crowd singing it 100%. I hope we get Badass Billy Gunn theme song. But I'm not going to, you know, it's wishful thinking. Regardless, Billy Gunn's back to battle with the Acclaim once again in a six-man tag match for the Trios Championships. Guys, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that the Acclaim win the Trios Championships here in a very feel-good moment. But at the same time, I would not be upset if the House of Black retain, because they are on a absolute tear with these Trios Championships right now, and I'm loving what they're doing, and I hope they escalate a story further after this, whether it be with the Acclaim continued or someone else. But my gut is telling me that the Acclaim are going to have a feel-good moment here with Billy Gunn and win the Trios Championships. So I'm going to say Billy Gunn, or badass Billy Gunn, and the Acclaimed to win the Trios Championships at All in Wembley. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee. One sec here, guys. A lot of talking. Next, but finally, as of right now, it's the only left match here. They might add some more on Collision or on Rampage Night and Collision tomorrow. MJF versus Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship Tournament. Tournament Championship. Let me do that again. MJF versus Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship. There! Good job, Kyle! Where's everybody clap now? Clap for me doing good. God damn. Anyways, oh God, has this story been absolutely epic. This has been so great. It's only been a few months with this storyline, and it's gotten so great, and the fans are so invested, including myself. We are all so invested into this. And like, it's gotten to a point where this has only been a few months, and people are like very upset at the fact that we could get a split between these two, because them as a team has been absolutely amazing. And I would not care if they went and teamed up eventually and had a tag team title run. That would be fantastic. I think MJF, Better Than You, Bay Bay is a fantastic team name. They work well off each other. These little skits they're doing have been some of the best skits that AEW's ever produced. They've been fantastic, from like the trampoline park to the club scenes to everything, the workouts. Like, it's just been, all of it's been amazing. I'm loving the inclusion story with Roderick Strong and him trying to warn Adam Cole. Then you got the Kingdom, Adam Cole's former team, saying, we know him, you know, he's done this to us before. We know what he's about. And, you know, trying to convert Roderick Strong, you know, and saying, we'll take care of you if he doesn't want to take care of you, kind of thing. So I'm loving these two stories coming together here, and I can't wait. It just creates for a compelling end to this match. Like, which fork in the road? Which way are they going to go? Are they going to go the route of MJF retaining? He cheats to win, shows Adam Cole that he's always hated his guts, never wanted to be a friend. You know, maybe it was like they go for like a hug or a handshake after the match, and MJF like attacks him. You know what I mean? Or low blows him. Will they go that route? You know, and it's kind of, I told you so moment for Roderick Strong. And, you know, Adam Cole tries to see, you know, forgiveness, and then Roderick Strong and the Kingdom don't. And they go into a feud there. I like that direction. That's where MJF, you know, goes into the CM Punk stuff. I see that more of the direction they're going to go into. Or do they pull a swerve, no pun intended, and they go Adam Cole winning the world championship, and then, you know, he kind of turns out to be turning to the asshole that MJF is by winning the world title and forgetting his friends, forgetting, you know, Roderick Strong and the Kingdom there. And he becomes, you know, the championship takes over his mind kind of thing. He forgets his family, you know. Maybe they start doing storylines where, like, he's forgetting even stuff with Britt and his relationship with, you know, quote-unquote relationship with Britt is breaking apart, but just for storyline purposes. That's a cool direction they could go to, and that also could lead into a feud with Roderick Strong, right? So I think either way is still a good path. I'm leaning more towards the path of the first one, but I would not be surprised if they took that other fork in the road, or if there's just another direction that we're not even thinking about, and I'm not even thinking about. But I'm leaning towards that first one, so I'm going to say MJF defeats Adam Cole for the World Championship, low blows him after the match, or wins in a dirty fashion, creating the I told you so moment for Adam Cole and Roderick Strong. And we close out the pay-per-view as MJF still is world champion, and hopefully re-signs into 2024. We're here to 2024. I think he's already re-signed. I think that's all just Fugazi. I think he's already signed. Regardless This is just built to be a stacked card. They're probably added like another pre-show match, I'm assuming, or one extra match. Hopefully not, because I hope this card itself sitting like this is perfectly okay. Unless they want to add like one like all-in battle royal or something in the pre-show just to get some more people on the card, I'm okay with that. So maybe that'll happen. We'll see. But anyways, guys, that's it for my predictions here. I hope you guys enjoyed them. Let me know what you guys thought, actually, about your predictions. If you guys want to DM me on Twitter, that's all at All Elite Kyle. Add me up. I'll follow you back, and you can DM me your thoughts and stuff. But or comment on the post here for Elite POV with Kyle Masters. I'm actually going to post this on YouTube as well. It's not going to be a video, but it'll be a still picture with some stuff moving, but not me in it. But this is available on audio, so hopefully you guys are having fun listening. So regardless, folks, thank you so much for tuning in today to another episode of Elite POV and the AEW All in London Wembley Stadium predictions. I thank you guys for listening today. Hope you guys enjoy my predictions. I will see you guys next time. Probably next episode will be the All In review whenever I do record that. But thank you for listening. And remember, you don't need a hat to be a cowboy.